Thank you and good afternoon. Someone said about the time we learn to make the most of life, the greater part of it is gone. Once again, it's a privilege to be able to study the Bible and to be with you as we look into the Word of God. We appreciate your listening to our program, and we do sincerely hope that we can assist and help in some way to make your life a little better as you understand a little more about the Word of God. All right, let's return now to our study. And we've been talking this week about the high price of serving sin. Sometimes people complain because it costs them something to be a child of God. It takes their time, their money is involved, their efforts are put forth. All of these things are prices that sometimes people say, I'm just not willing to pay that price. Well, it may be true, but have you looked at the other side of the issue? What is the price that you'll pay if you do not serve God? There's a high price in regard to sin. We looked at the life of a man named Samson. Samson was one of the judges of Israel. And Samson had an opportunity to lead the people of God in victory over the Philistines. And that certainly was a great thing to be able to accomplish. Yet at the same time, let me suggest to you that Samson decided he didn't really need to serve God that much. And so his own desires and sin entered into his life, and to the point that finally at the end of his life, he's not in control. He is a helpless, hopeless individual at the mercy of the Philistines. Well, this is the price he paid for a life of sin. Now, we were making application of that, and we said this. The life of Samson and his eyesight was taken away because sin was his master. He lost his sight. There are many people who lose their sight instead of looking objectively at things that are going on round about them. The God of this world blinds their eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And so we also noted that his freedom was taken from him. Sin became his master, and sin becomes the master of many people today. When a person says, well, I'm in control of my life, and then he does the things that sin wants him to do, he's giving over control of his life to sin. And very clearly, it comes to the point that he's not able to make the determination as to what he's going to do or what he's not going to do. We're in our land today, filling our land with those who are as far as gambling is concerned, they've come to the place they have no control. Even those who sponsor gambling activities put up signs saying, if you've got problems along this line, here's who you call to help you with your problems. They tell people, gamble responsibly. What does that mean? It means sin takes control of people's lives, and they realize that. And sometimes people get to the place they have no control over what they're doing. They need assistance. They need help to get out of the problems that are there. Well, of course, to point out that if you don't start that road of sin, you don't have to worry about the consequence of it, is very meaningless to a number of people. But at the same time, let me remind you that our freedom to do as God wants us to do and to use our lives in the best way is surrendered when we become the servants of sin. It also cost him his self-respect. Look at Samson as he is blinded, led out in a company of Philistines, and they make fun of him. They're having a great time making fun of this man who was God's champion, but who allowed sin to take over. Why, friends, certainly when a person does the wrong thing, he then becomes humiliated by the sin that he's committed. And as a result of it, he wants to just get away. Do you remember in the beginning when Adam sinned and the voice of God came in the garden? God said, "Adam, where art thou?" Where was Adam? He was hiding, wasn't he? Why was he hiding? Because his self-respect is gone. He's ashamed of what he's done. And he has fallen into that trap. He's doing the wrong thing. And he knows it's the wrong thing for him to do. My friends, that same thing comes in the lives of men and women. Instead of them holding their head up high and facing life and the problems of life with dignity, when a person becomes guilty of sin, he just allows it to get to the point that all of his dignity is gone. His self-respect is gone. There are people who do things they would never think of doing unless they were under the influence of alcohol. There are people who would behave in such ways that they wouldn't even think of doing if they knew that people would be aware of what they're doing. And so very clearly what he's saying is that we need to understand that sin takes control of our lives, and the price that is paid is a very, very high price. Eventually, according to Judges 16 and verse 30, sin cost Samson his life. He died as a result of the sin that he had committed. Well, of course, physical death is one thing, but spiritual death is another. How many people have died spiritually because they've committed sin? Because they've lived a life of sin and allowed sin to take control. Well, we've already mentioned the fact that those who die and die in the Lord have a promise of redemption. But what about those who die in sin? There's no promise of redemption or help for them. Friends, in total, when you think about the price paid to be a Christian and the price paid to not be a Christian, which one is the greater price? Which one has the greater effect? Well, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure that many of you feel the same way, it's not worth it to live the life of sin. We need to serve God faithfully. We do appreciate your listening and remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.